A Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the fall 2019 issue on childhood. The Long-Lasting Effects of Adverse Childhood Experiences by Avery Haller, MPH. Avery Haller earned her Master's of Public Health from Bastyr University in 2018. She is passionate about leveraging the science of trauma to create healing spaces in our world. She is a writer, presenter, and activist. Each of us has an intuitive understanding that exposure to violence, abuse, and stress is not good for us. Science is starting to catch up and add new layers to our intuitive understanding. The past few decades of research have illuminated the extent to which trauma and toxic stress, especially in childhood, impact our mental and physical health. This scientific language allows us to move policy conversations forward with more compassion, as the question shifts from "what's wrong with you?" to "what happened to you?" We have an opportunity to identify and interrupt the patterns of individual and systemic trauma to create a healthier and just society for all. Trauma in childhood is widespread. In 1997, Kaiser Permanente published a landmark study that linked trauma in childhood with a myriad of mental and physical health conditions later in life, including depression, addiction, cancer, and diabetes. Pilot research by Kaiser uncovered the 10 most common childhood traumas. These came to be known as adverse childhood experiences and were used as the basis of the 1997 survey. The Kaiser study showed that adverse childhood experiences are widespread. Two-thirds of participants had at least one adverse childhood experience. Further research confirmed these findings and controlled for lifestyle factors. In other words, disease is not the result of maladaptive behaviors, but rather a direct result of the stress associated with trauma. This is what makes adverse childhood experiences such a compelling research subject and at times a difficult place for intervention. Everyone can recognize themselves in the research, but not everyone is willing to confront and heal their past in order to create a new future. 10 adverse childhood experiences: emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, mother treated violently, substance abuse in the household, mental illness in the household, parental separation or divorce, incarcerated household member, emotional neglect, physical neglect. How stress affects the body. In the body, a little stress can help cells and neural connections grow. A lot of stress causes parts of the body to shut down. When a person perceives a situation to be life-threatening, they enter fight, flight, freeze mode. In fight, flight, freeze, the stress hormones adrenaline and cortisol are released. These hormones help your body focus on quick muscle movements and keep the threat in your vision. Restarting. These hormones help your body focus on quick muscle movements and keep the threat in your vision. These hormones also take a toll on your organs by putting you in survival hyperdrive. When we are in environments of repeatedly feeling threatened, we experience wear and tear on our bodies. This is called toxic stress. Toxic stress can come from abuse, neglect, living through civil war, oppressive political structures, racism, exposure to gun violence, among many other things. Stress is toxic when it is ongoing and there is a perceived threat to physical or emotional safety. Trauma and toxic stress also affect the brain. Life-threatening situations cause the limbic system, which includes the amygdala and brainstem, to take control. The limbic system is the oldest part of our brain and is often referred to as the lizard brain. Additionally, the prefrontal cortex, which controls reasoning, and your hippocampus, which controls memory, shut down to save energy. When people are experiencing a traumatic event, they act impulsively and enter into survival mode. Rational thought goes out the window. Often they don't remember what happened during the trauma. When survival mode occurs often enough, especially in critical childhood development years, the brain adapts. The limbic system becomes more developed in a brain without trauma, and the prefrontal cortex becomes less developed. These adaptations are extremely helpful if the person continues to be in life-threatening situations. For example, children who have experienced trauma grow up to become excellent first responders. However, many environments in the modern world are not conducive to the adaptations that trauma creates. Most modern work and school environments require reasoning skills and an ability to meet emotions with rationality rather than impulsivity. The disconnect between adaptations due to trauma and general society norms offers an intervention point for those who have suffered trauma and makes space for them to heal. Clearly, the most surefire way to prevent disease and discord due to trauma is to make sure that trauma never happens in the first place. This means that we must learn to break cycles of trauma, the cycles of violence, abuse, neglect, and war that can escalate if we do not actively seek peace in our hearts and our policies. The antidote to trauma is resilience, or the ability to respond constructively to negative circumstances. Resilience can be fostered on both individual and community levels. Though science is helpful in showing us the most effective ways to foster resilience, it is important to note that the work of healing trauma has been going on for millennia. Resilience is less about learning a hot new wellness trend and more about committing to the basics of what makes life worth living. Finding joy in the present moment, getting adequate rest and recovery, having access to healing modalities, and maintaining strong social ties. On an individual level, it is important to seek help in dealing with past traumas. Professional counselors have many techniques for effectively reducing flashback episodes and outbursts. Mindfulness and sensory awareness techniques can also be helpful for those seeking to build resilience before or after a traumatic event. Social support is critical for healing. For example, joining a faith group, increasing time with friends, or deepening relationships with supportive family members are all positive actions to take as you seek to build resilience. On a community level, the opportunities for building resilience are even more rich. Community members can actively check in on each other or host community-wide events and make sure their events are trauma-informed. Communities can advocate for policies that interrupt cycles of trauma, such as gun safety and anti-racism initiatives. Politicians can designate more money to public health interventions, such as trauma-informed parenting classes, to prevent abuse and neglect. Leaders in the business community can work with employees to find more flexible work schedules, allowing for medical appointments or other family care responsibilities. Leaders in the criminal justice system can seek humane solutions, including the implementation of restorative justice practices. This is far from an exhaustive list. The community-level solution suggested above can be controversial. Fortunately, the science on trauma allows us to move the debate from "What's wrong with you? Why can't you just fit in?" to "What happened to you? How can we support your healing so that you can thrive once again in our community?" The physical and mental problems that stem from trauma are not the fault of the victims. However, if not given the proper support, victims can inadvertently pass on their trauma to other family members or community members. Healing trauma is essential to bringing about peace and justice in our world. Thankfully, our knowledge of how the body works gives us some concrete places for intervention. Trauma-informed spaces. Trauma-informed spaces and programs acknowledge that trauma may have occurred in participants' lives, seek to create safe connection, and attempt not to re-traumatize participants. Ideas for making your next gathering trauma-informed. Leave doors open and unlocked. Clearly state that bathroom breaks and snacks are welcome during the event. Provide food and drink if possible. Get community input when designing your event. Make time for all participants to speak. Allow participants to have meaningful decision-making power.